Welcome to another inspirational message courtesy of BibleCities.com. For more teachings like this and other free Christian resources, please visit our website at www.BibleCities.com. Now let's join Reverend Slide Moran as he delivers another powerful teaching from the Word of God.
Let's do that. Let's come before God and let's look at His holy Word and see what He has to say to us. But before we do, let's come into agreement that the Spirit of God will teach us tonight. Amen?
Yes.
All right, let's do that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for the anointing. Thank You for the teaching anointing, Father. Thank You for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit. Father, we say, teach us Your way. Open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things in Your Word and make us to understand what we see and read so that we might walk in it, Father. Open the eyes of our understanding that we might know to a deeper extent what is the hope of Your calling, what the riches of the glory of Your inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of Your power towards us who believe. Father, we thank You that every heart is open tonight. Everybody say, my heart is open.
My heart is open.
I thank You, Father God, that every mind is focused. Everybody say, my mind is focused.
My mind is focused.
And I thank You, Father God, that every individual is ready to receive the engrafted Word of God, which is able to save our souls. Father, You said when we pray to believe that we receive and we'll have it. And so, Father God, we come into agreement. We've asked You in faith, believing that You not only hear our prayer, but answer our prayer. And so, therefore, we receive by faith everything that we've just asked You for, knowing that You heard it and said yes and gave it. And so we thank You for it in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Turn over to 2 Timothy. We'll start there. Praise God. It's good to see what God has for us in His Word.
Amen.
If people would only get a sense, a deeper sense, or even some sense. Hey, that's good right there. People would just get some sense.
Some sense.
If people would just get a sense of the power of the Word of God, they'd be able to receive a whole lot more. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says this, reading out of the NIV, all Scripture is God-breathed. Well, King James says, given by inspiration, and is profitable or is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Well, in the King James, it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The words in this book, in this Bible, are given by inspiration of God. And they are profitable for doctrine, in other words, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In other words, if we want to find some instruction on how to walk in righteousness, everybody say walk in righteousness.
Walk in righteousness.
Yeah, see, we've already been made righteous. Mm-hmm. He who knew no sin was made to be sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So we've been made righteous, but that doesn't mean that we walk in righteousness. Well, we can find instruction in the Word of God on how to walk in righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. It's also profitable for doctrine. In other words, for teaching. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. It's good for correction. All Scripture is good for correction. You know, you can find out where you're wrong and where you need to make corrections.
That's right.
By just looking in the Word of God. It's real simple. It's not difficult. If we just look in the Word of God, we can see where we're missing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be just a little bit, or it might be completely. And all we need to do is go to the Word and find out. It's profitable for correction. But there's another word, and that's reproof. See that word? Is that in the Bible?
Yes.
It says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof. Do you see in the Word of God where it says that Scripture is given by God, and one of the things it's given for is reproof?
Yes.
The synonym for reproof is rebuke.
Right.
We hear that word. The question is, do you know what it really means? See, because most Christians, when they are rebuked by the word, take it as a personal attack. Mm-hmm. Why are you criticizing me? Or a judgment. Mm-hmm. Why are you judging me? Why are you condemning me? I'm not, and neither should you be. But that doesn't mean the word won't do that. And when someone is in error, the Word of God says, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into all things, which is the head, even Christ. We speak the truth. We can see what the problem is very often, and we can give the corresponding scripture that is designed to help the individual. I mean, for example, when somebody says there is no hell, you can correct them and, if necessary, rebuke them and say there is too. The Word of God says there is a hell. The Word of God says there is a hell. So we can do that. You understand that? When you see a Christian who's living in a sexually immoral situation, you can use the Word of God to bring forth correction, instruction, doctrine, and if necessary, rebuke. And if the individual takes it as a personal attack, that's their problem, because they shouldn't be taking it as a personal attack. It's given by God for the purpose of bringing forth correction, reproof, instruction in righteousness. That's what it's there for. Amen? The word rebuke or reproof literally means to criticize sharply. Mm-hmm. Why are you criticizing me? Who are you to criticize my lifestyle? I'm just like you. You know, I was a sinner as well. But I'm not criticizing it. I'm just telling you what the word says, and you're taking it personally, which you should. If we've missed it, we should take it personally. And yet again, so many Christians, the reason why they live lives of failure and defeat year after year after year is because they won't receive from the word the correction and the reproof and the instruction in righteousness. They know it. It's been said to them. The Spirit has tried to say it to them. They've read their Bible. They know what the Word of God has said. And when they're reading it and they see it in the Word, they'll just shut their heart off to it. They don't want to hear it. And when someone tries to tell them, they feel like they're under attack. They feel like you're judging them, feel like you're condemning them, feel like you're criticizing me. Well, this is the way I do it. I have a personal relationship with God. God knows my heart. Yes, He knows you're in disobedience and rebellion to the Word.
Yeah.
If you are in disobedience and rebellion to the word.
Amen.
It's true.
And I can tell you that personally, because I've been rebuked and corrected and instructed by the word.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind the instruction. I don't mind the teaching.
That's right.
Correction? I don't mind telling you that when the rebuke comes, it's hard. I got to swallow real hard. And you know what you're swallowing, of course, don't you? Your pride. You got to swallow real hard. I got to man up is the word. I got to man up. I got to do what's got to be done. I got to make the correction. And if I don't, you know, it just hurts more. If I do, there's peace. How do I know that? Because the word of God in Hebrews says, let's not despise the chastening of the Lord when he speaks. Because when he does speak, he chastens everyone that he loves. He scourges every son. But it says that when that chastening comes, those that are trained by it, those that receive it, those that will actually do it and take it and apply it, it says it brings forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. There's peace. There's fruit that comes from it. Amen?
Amen.
But then there's the other side of it. I believe it's Proverbs 29. He that being oftenth reproved and hardens his neck shall be cut off or destroyed suddenly, and that without remedy.
Mm-hmm.
There's danger when we refuse continually the reproving of the Lord, the correcting of the Lord. He that being oftenest reproved. In other words, the Lord doesn't do it once and say, well, that's it, I've had it with them. He'll continue, and he'll try to protect you as long as he can. As a child of ignorance, we can do things out of ignorance. We make mistakes and fall down out of ignorance. Is that right? But there is a time when it stops being ignorance and starts being just plain old disobedience. And that's different. And that's why the Word of God says that he that being oftenest reproved. If you've been corrected and reproved, and you won't receive it, you harden your neck, shall suddenly be destroyed or cut off. And that without remedy. Doesn't say unless you're a child of God, unless you're a Christian. Just says he, the individual who is reproved continually and will not listen, but rather hardens his heart, stiffens his neck, says it'd be cut off. Well, why? You're cutting yourself off, not God cutting you off. You are. Mm-hmm. Cutting yourself off from the blessings of God. He's trying to help you.
Amen.
This is good. This has already been good.
Good.
This is not the message. But it's about the message because it's how we learn.
Right.
Amen. The word of God should be taken not with a grain of salt, but should be taken very, very seriously. Because there are blessings to those who actually hear and do the word of God.
Amen.
And there are consequences for those that don't. You know that there's a blessing in every word of God.
That's good.
So all we have to do is do it. Amen. Now we've talked about the fruit of the Spirit. And we've talked about the gifts of the Spirit. And we've talked about the difference between the gifts of the Spirit, which are outlined in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and the fruit of the Spirit, which is outlined in Galatians.
Right.
Does anybody remember what the difference between the gift and fruit is? Fruit takes a while to grow. It's got to mature. When you fertilize it and water it properly, in other words, use it as Jesus said, he that has more will be given, it'll grow. It doesn't just pop out. Well, suddenly I'm just filled with love. I've got the fruit of the Spirit. I'm just filled with love now. No, that's not how it goes. It'll grow. How does it grow? It grows the same way your muscles enlarge by use. You use it. Well, I just want to walk in love. Well, then walk in love. Yeah, but it's hard. Well, that's because you haven't exercised it. It'll get easier than when you exercise it. It's like picking up a 150-pound weight. If you've never done that before, it's going to be quite heavy and quite difficult. On the other hand, if you start small and exercise, you can build yourself up to very easily handling that 150-pound weight. It's the same thing with loving some people. Some of them are, it's very difficult. Amen. Start where you can. Little acts of kindness. Soft words, forgiveness. You just start small. You'll build yourself up to it. And as you exercise your faith, the Lord and the devil will see to it that you have more opportunities to exercise your faith. I remember many years ago, I went to the Lord and I just wanted to learn how to walk in love. Because I see that this is an important thing. It says we're supposed to love one another. I don't know how to do that. So he began to teach me, and he started by putting me in the company of an individual that was as unlovable as you could get. Well, that's how you learn to love. It's easy to love your people that love you. That's easy. That's just natural. Real love, the real love of God, is not affected by anything. It is always the same and unchanging towards everyone. It doesn't show favoritism.
That's good.
So fruit grows, and we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, faith, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, meekness, and so forth. Fruit of the Spirit. These things will grow in you as you exercise them by faith, as opposed to the gifts of the Spirit, which are sudden.
Right.
If I give you a gift, you've got it. It's complete. It's full. It's all there is. Here it is, and you have it.
Right.
There's nothing you need to do. It's there. It's yours. Same thing with the gifts of the Spirit. When they manifest, they're manifested fully. The difference between the gifts and the fruit. Best way to see the gifts of the Spirit manifested is to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Because God is love. Really, the gifts are nothing more than a manifestation of God's love towards someone through you. So we've talked about these things, and we've talked about yielding ourselves to the Spirit of God. So many people, they just don't know how to yield to the Spirit of God. They just don't know how. And the reason why they don't know how is because they've never been taught. Because these are things that we have to learn. That's why God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. To help the body grow. To teach these things. These are not things that we know naturally. As a matter of fact, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. And so these things need to be taught. And they need to be taught frequently. Why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. The things of the Spirit are accessed by faith, and they're manifested by faith. And we know that from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Now, brethren, regarding things of and pertaining to the Spirit," it uses in the King James the term spiritual gifts, but we know that that's not a literal translation. The actual thought coming out from the Greek there, the word is actually spirituals, and it literally means things of and pertaining to the Spirit, and not necessarily just strictly the Spirit of God. Could be your spirit. And the Word of God says, "Now, brethren, concerning things of and pertaining to the Spirit, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be unlearned. I don't want you to be untaught. I don't want you to be lacking knowledge or understanding regarding these things." And so we need to understand the things of the Spirit if we're going to be able to yield to the things of the Spirit. If we don't know how they operate or even what they are, how in the world can we yield when the Spirit of God is trying to move? Because He is not going to force Himself in or through anyone that is unwilling. See, the devil does that. We have our own will. We're men. And we're created in the image of God. And God will never usurp your will. If you are unwilling to yield to the Spirit of God, the moving of the Spirit, then He will never manifest Himself in or through you. Because you won't yield. And so it's important for us to understand how to yield to the Spirit. Now, what happens is that very often, I can't even tell you how many times I've seen this, some people get stuck when it comes to yielding to the Spirit. Before I say anything here, this does not necessarily mean that anything I say is incorrect in the instance when it's the Spirit. But when a person gets stuck there and won't go any farther, then it's flesh and no longer spirit. Mm-hmm. And for example, well, let's say laughter. I've seen people get stuck in laughter. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't any such thing as supernatural joy. We know that there is. And there is a supernatural moving of the Spirit which produces joy, which will bring forth laughter. I myself have just laughed, I would say uncontrollably, but that wouldn't be true because my spirit is subject to me and I can stop when I want if I no longer yield to the Spirit. If the Spirit is moving in an area where there is joy, the spiritual fruit of joy is being manifested, well then yield to it and you'll find yourself laughing and rejoicing. In the supernatural, if your mind asks, "What am I laughing at?" the answer will be, "I don't know," because it's nothing carnal. See, because there's a difference, as we talked about, between joy and happiness. See, happiness is generated by the flesh. It's a carnal thing. It's a feeling. I feel happy. And it's affected by outside circumstances. I'm happy. Why? Well, because I met a woman or I met a man, and they're perfect. So I'm happy. He makes me happy. She makes me happy. Or I have a new job, and it makes me happy. Well, in other words, you weren't as happy as you are now before you had the job. And that's correct. Outside circumstances will produce happiness. But joy is a spiritual thing. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And so therefore, it's a spiritual thing. And so joy is not affected by things that are outside, that are external. It's not affected by it at all. I mean, you might just have had your leg cut off. But you can be joyful knowing you will walk on two legs. If not on earth, at least in glory when our bodies are transformed.
Amen.
You can be joyful of that. Mm-hmm. You may very well be going through a financial trial, but that's okay. If you believe and know the Word of God and you're willing to stand in faith, you know that that trial will come to an end and you'll end up being the winner on top.
Amen.
Well, that'll produce joy. Why? Because it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not affected by the fact that you're going through something. There's a big difference between the spiritual fruit and the natural things.
Yeah.
And it's really important not to yield to the natural, which so many people do. They yield to the natural instead of the spiritual. We're told not to be ignorant, and yet we yield instead to the natural and not to the spiritual. The Spirit of God will endeavor. He'll bring people to try to encourage you and bring the Word. And yet we'll quench that and yield to the circumstances instead of yielding to the Spirit. See, again, not learning how to yield to the Spirit. The Lord will quicken a scripture in you regarding the circumstance of the situation, and most people will quench that and yield again to the thoughts of worry and concern over the circumstances and situation, not understanding how to yield to the Spirit. And as I said, some people get stuck. I describe it as an old phonograph needle on a record that just skips. It won't go past that point. I'm just saying, for example, laughter is a good example of it. I've seen people to where the first manifestation in their life of the Spirit was in joy, and they laugh. And so from that point on, whenever the Spirit endeavors to move, what do?
Laugh.
Well, you see, there is a point where it's the Spirit, but then there also is a point to where it's not the Spirit, it's a fleshly reaction. You know something is going on. They're trying to yield to the Spirit, but the only thing they know to do is to laugh. And so by laughing in the flesh, they quench the Spirit, because the Spirit is not moving there. He's doing this instead. Same thing happens with crying. I see that a lot. The Spirit will endeavor to move, and I'll see people crying. Now, you know, there are times to where even Jesus wept. And there are times when there is a moving of the Spirit that will bring such a burden. I've cried just by the Spirit over the lost, over people. I have. I've wept.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get stuck in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that happen again. So often I've seen people that the Spirit will begin to move. And because that's what they're familiar with, they don't recognize the flow where the Spirit is going. And so because they don't recognize the Spirit of where the flow is going, which they could if they would just pay attention to what's going on around them. Just pay attention to the people. What are the people who are moving in the Spirit? Where are they going? What are they doing? And do that.
Mm-hmm.
Do that by faith, because that's where the Spirit's going. But instead, they're just so comfortable with this spot, being stuck in that spot, that they'll just start crying. And they'll weep. And everybody around them can be laughing, but they're weeping. That's not the flow of the Spirit. Now, they think it is, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Spirit of joy is manifesting. Maybe there's a spirit of praise, and they're weeping. Well, are you yielding to the Spirit, or are you yielding to the flesh? I understand the flesh is trying to cooperate, but see, the flesh never cooperates with the Spirit. You got to make it.
That's right.
Now, understand what I'm saying. You see, when we come before God, and we're endeavoring to enter into the Spirit, we're not to be led by our feelings,
yeah,
or by our emotions. Romans 8:14 says what? As many as are led by the what? By the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Amen.
And so the point is that when we come together, or when you're endeavoring to come before God and enter into the Spirit, it's not to be done through emotion. Look around, see what's going on around you, see where the Spirit of God is leading those that have some experience in being led by the Spirit, in moving in the Spirit. If you've missed this in the past, here's the time to be corrected. See what those who have experience in that are doing, and then you do the same. Emotions are fleshly. Do you understand that? Emotions are fleshly.
Amen.
They're carnal. They're not spiritual. They're carnal. They're fleshly. And you can't touch God, reach God, nor can you please God when you're in the flesh. And it doesn't matter how well-intentioned or how hard you try, you can't please God in the flesh.
Yeah.
Now, again, there's nothing wrong with weeping in the Spirit. As I said, I've done that myself. There's nothing wrong with laughing in the Spirit. I've done that as well.
Amen.
And yet, if it's not in the Spirit but in the flesh, then that's not in the Spirit. And that's not going to please God. As a matter of fact, what that's actually doing, if that's not where the move of the Spirit is at that time, if it's not what the Spirit is doing at that time, then what we are doing when we decide to laugh or jump up and down or shake or tingle or cry or weep, if that's not what the Spirit is doing, then we're actually hindering the move of the Spirit, not only around us, but in us and through us.
Yeah.
It's very possible to quench what the Spirit of God is doing when people start getting off into the flesh. It's like throwing water on fire. It just quenches it.
Amen.
So be aware. Look at yourself very, very carefully and see whether or not you're acting through emotion or whether you're actually being led by the Spirit. And that's real simple. Just look at those around you. See where the move of the Spirit is doing. Amen?
Amen?
If there's a spirit of praise, if there's a spirit of joy, if there's a spirit of thanksgiving, if there's a spirit of prophecy, whatever's going on, the thing to do is to yield to the Spirit. And again, if we don't know how, then what do we do? Look at those who you know.
Mm-hmm.
Have some experience in it and do what they're doing. Do it by faith, in faith. Make yourself go there. In other words, get in the river.
Yeah.
Get in the water. You got to get in it. That's where the flow is going. Follow it. Amen. And I've seen this jumping, shaking, howling, doing all kinds of things because they don't know how to yield to what's going on. This is a word of correction, reproof, instruction in righteousness, doctrine. If we take it, we need to learn from it. How? Why? So that we can go forward. If we want to find ourselves in that place where we're able to yield to whatever the Spirit wants, whenever the Spirit wants it, and do whatever the Spirit is leading us to do, that'll bring miracles. That'll bring the miracle. That'll bring the miracle. What did Mary say to the servants during the wedding feast in Cana? Whatever he says to you to do, do it. He didn't say you just go ahead and do whatever you think is right or feels good. That's not what she said. She didn't say, well, look, if you guys feel like water in the pot and you feel like sitting over there weeping, go ahead. Whatever he says to do, do it. And so you got to understand, we're talking about the Spirit of Christ. Whatever he says for us to do, we do it. That means we need to really come to a point to where we can understand and discern the difference between our feelings and the Spirit of God, the moving of the Spirit of God. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Understanding the difference between our feelings. We may very well have to put our flesh down. Now, there's been times where I really have had to put my flesh down. I'm thinking of the first time I was in the presence of the manifestation of the spiritual fruit of joy. I'm thinking of the first time I was actually in that situation. The fruit of joy was being manifested. And we all know that joy is a spiritual fruit. And with joy is going to come laughter and rejoicing. It's going to come. Don't tell me you're full of joy and you're just sitting there like a lemon. Yeah. Don't tell me you're full of joy. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you're full of joy, you're going to do something. And it's not going to be sit there like a lemon.
Amen.
Amen. And I remember the first time that I was in that situation where there was an actual move of the Spirit that was manifesting joy. Now, you know, many people don't know this. Hallelujah! There are benefits to rejoicing.
Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, the hardworking farmer should be the first to share in the crops.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. If you got your Bible, turn to Psalm 126 real quick. Thank you, Father. There are benefits to rejoicing.
Glory.
There are benefits to joy. People don't know this.
All right.
That's why they don't shout for joy. It's why they don't rejoice. It's why they don't put their body under and make it obey.
Right.
It's why they don't bring forth the sacrifices of joy in the tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, that tabernacle is you.
Yes.
Right. Amen.
Because I are the house of God. And if he says, I will bring the sacrifices of joy in your tabernacle, that means that your mouth is going to open up and shout for joy. Because I told you that Hebrew word in Psalm 27 that says joy literally means joyful shouting.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Father. In Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6, look at what it says. They that sow in tears shall what?
Rejoice.
Do you know why so many people do not reap the harvest that God has for them, that God has multiplied the seed that they've sown? The harvest is there. They know the harvest is there, but they can't bring it in.
Wow.
Why? Because they're not reaping in joy. You reap in joy. In joy. It's not in tears. You may sow in tears. Why? Because sometimes it hurts.
Oh, yes. Amen.
When you are lacking and you've got to go out and sow just so that you have a harvest, it can cause some tears.
That's good. Hallelujah.
That's why it says, they that sow in tears, but shall reap how?
In
joy. Keep reading. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless, without a doubt, come again how?
Rejoicing.
With rejoicing. Look at what they're doing, though. Bringing their sheaves or the harvest with them.
Yeah.
How do we reap?
In joy.
According to the word of God, we reap in joy. Do you know that when you need healing, you need a harvest of healing, you know the best way to do it is make sure you're rejoicing.
Yeah.
You know, when you need finances and they're not coming in, you're not rejoicing. That's why they're not coming in. It says right here, you'll doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing your harvest with you.
Praise God.
That's what the Word of God says. There are benefits to rejoicing. And yet, so often, the individual does not yield to the Spirit of God. There will be a spirit of joy, a fruit of joy being manifested, and they won't yield. They just won't yield to it. And as I said, I remember the first time where I was in a meeting and the fruit of the Spirit was being manifested. And you see, people pray for the manifestation of the Spirit. I mean, anyone who's Spirit-filled, any charismatic Pentecostal church, they'll come together and they'll pray and ask for the manifestation of the Spirit in their services. And they limit themselves to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the gifts of the Spirit, and pay no attention to the fruit. And that's why they don't see the gifts, because they're quenching the fruit. The Spirit will try to manifest himself through love, joy, peace, love, faith, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness. They're looking for the gifts, and the fruit are right there. Yeah. And that's what they need, is the fruit.
Yeah.
Do you know, in the body of Christ, more than anything, it's the fruit that is needed. The gifts are supposed to be used out of the church.
Exactly.
It's the fruit that's supposed to be manifested in the church.
Yeah.
And when we come together, we should be seeing the fruit more than anything. I mean, how many people right here, if you really think about it, need a real working of miracles right now?
Right.
How many need a discerning of spirits? No, we don't need that right now, unless the Lord sees and does.
Mm-hmm.
We all can certainly use joy.
Amen.
And peace.
Amen.
And love.
Right.
And faith.
Amen.
And long-suffering and meekness, kindness. Yielding to the Spirit of God. And that means putting your flesh under. And very often, we have to learn how to put our flesh under in order to yield. And you see, yielding to the Spirit, that is what is required. Put your flesh under.
Amen.
Yield to the Spirit. And I remember being in that service, and the fruit of the Spirit, joy, was being manifested. Can I be honest with you? It bugged me. It annoyed me. Especially because it was this loud one, big lungs, should have been an opera singer. Laughing so loud I couldn't even hear myself. Couldn't hear anything the pastor was trying to say. Just laughing. And then pretty soon people all around me were laughing. The Spirit of God, people were yielding. My thoughts, in all honesty, were, I sure wish that this would get over and we can get on with what the Spirit wants to do here. If we just get on with the message. Well, that was the message. See, that's what we needed. It was the Spirit of God being manifested. But as I said, so often people don't recognize when the Spirit of God is moving because he's manifesting the fruit and not the gifts.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so some people are yielding and some people are not. And I don't mind telling you, being honest and trying to be as transparent as I can to help as many as I can here, I was not yielding and would not yield because I just could not see what was so funny. Now, funny had nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, happiness, laughter based on things that are funny or making you happy, those are based on external things. And there was nothing funny about this because I was annoyed. I didn't come here to listen to you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
I came here to learn about God and the things of the Spirit. So I don't need you laughing right now. Well, that's how dumb I was. Now, I thought I knew a lot of stuff. But you see, I had to be taught. And the pastor began to teach on this about what it was all about. And then he started doing things that were really annoying. He'd go around to people and go, ha, ha, ha. He, he, he. Ho, 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 ho. Ha, ha, ha. And that really began to annoy me because just how undignified can you get? How undignified can you get? Well, he was trying to show people how to put your flesh under and yield to the Spirit. In other words, get your flesh in line.
Amen.
Tell your flesh to cooperate with what the Spirit is doing. Tell it what to do. What did Paul say? He said, I beat my body under. I put it under. I do what I have to do to get it to cooperate with what the Spirit of God is trying to do. I put it under. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, your flesh doesn't want to get involved in that. Why? Because there's absolutely nothing funny and it's annoying. In other words, it's rubbing up against you. But don't we know that the Word of God says the carnal mind is enmity to God?
That's right.
It wars against God. Your mind will tell you some squirrely things when it comes to the things of God. And my mind was just going crazy. Let me out of here. Please let it be 9 o'clock so this can be over and I can be out of here because this is stupid and this is dumb. But he just kept on teaching and people kept on laughing and I kept getting more and more bugged about it. I did. I just kept getting more and more annoyed about it. I don't mind telling you. See, because I hadn't learned. I didn't know how to yield. Now, I knew there had been times when the Spirit of God had done things to where it was so strong in me that I actually felt it. But you know, he doesn't want to hit you over the head with a hammer to get you to yield. The Word of God talks about the still small voice, not the sledgehammer bearing Holy Ghost. And besides that, if you're led by your feelings, the devil will use that more than the Spirit will. You'll find yourself in real error. Amen. So I finally got the message, and that was real simple. Tell your flesh what to do. Make it do what the Spirit is endeavoring to have it do. Mm-hmm. You might want to write that down. Make your flesh do what the Spirit of God is endeavoring to have it do. See, if it won't do it willingly, then you make it do it.
Amen.
If your flesh will not enter in willingly, then force it to. We're told to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We're told to put our flesh under. We're told to put on the new man. And we're told that the carnal mind is enmity against God. We're told that the flesh wars or lusts against the things of the Spirit. Your flesh will resist the move of the Spirit of God. But you can train it so that it's going to do what you want it to do or what the Spirit wants it to do when the Spirit is moving, whether it likes it or not.
Yeah, that's good.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
And so what I did, I finally got the message. I understood what he was doing when he was walking around going, ha, ha, ha. Ho, 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 ho. And so I said, all right, I'm going to make my flesh enter in. I'm going to at least give it a shot. God says, you draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. So I'm going to go as far as I can by faith. So I just started going, ha, ha, ha. 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 Because everybody around me is laughing and rolling on the floor, and there's nothing funny. But I got my mind off of them. Took my mind off of that. And just focused in on God. I'm going to enter in. I want to enter in. I'm going to put my body under. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ho, 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 ho. Ha, ha, ha. Well, you know, it took a minute or two. I don't know how long it took, but it wasn't long. Then inside of me, from inside, did you hear me?
Yes.
From down in my belly, down in the deepest parts of me, this joy started to bubble up, come up out of the Spirit. And I began to laugh. And I laughed like I never laughed before in my life. And I mean, I laughed and I laughed and laughed. I laughed so hard, I ended up on the floor laughing and laughing. And I would say that, well, now I couldn't stop. But the truth is that if I'd have forced myself to stop, I could have, but I didn't want to. I didn't want to quench what the Spirit was doing. I laughed. I don't know if you've ever laughed really hard. I mean the belly laugh. I mean the real belly laugh. And now myself, when I laugh that hard, two things happen. One, my stomach hurts.
Yep.
Two, I start to cough because I just haven't ever emptied my lungs like that. You know, when you laugh straight for 30, 45 seconds, I mean so hard and so strong without taking a breath, you know, you're emptying your lungs. There's things that are in there that need to come out. They come up, which is good. because they need to come out of there. But I don't know how long I did that. It had to be a half hour. And you know, and my mind was sitting there thinking, what in the world am I laughing at? There's absolutely nothing funny about this. There is absolutely nothing that I can think of what I'm laughing at, but that didn't stop me from laughing. Because why? Because I yielded to the Spirit. It took a little bit to enter in. It took a little bit of effort on my part to yield to it. Did you hear me? It took some effort on my part to yield to it. And at first it didn't seem like anything was happening or going to happen. Because I was just going, ha, 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 ho, 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 ha, 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 ha. Well, if the flesh is going to give me trouble with moving in the Spirit, we're going to do whatever I need to do with the flesh to get it to a point to where it's going to yield to the Spirit. How about you?
Yeah.
Amen. This is how we learn to move in the things of the Spirit. By putting your flesh under, by yielding to the Spirit. Now, I could have sat there the whole time quenching the Spirit, even though we're told not to. And had I sat there and just done what some people did through the whole thing, they would not yield. They were not going to go, ha, ha, ha. They just weren't. That's just too undignified. I'm too old for that. I am way too old for that. I'm not doing that. I am not going to do that. And the last thing I need to do is be rolling on the floor in laughter because I'll never be able to get up. Now, that sounds funny, but you see, what did we just find out about joy? That'll bring in your harvest. That's how you reap it. Let's read it again. It says right here, Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. They that sow in tears. Doesn't the word of God say, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, so also shall he reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. The things of the Spirit, the things of God. Put your flesh under and start sowing to the Spirit, you'll reap.
Amen.
Amen. Those that sow in tears shall what? Reap how?
In joy.
In joy. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless. In other words, there's no doubt about it. There's nothing even to talk about. There's no negotiation. There's no doubt about it. He will doubtless come again. How? With rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Bringing his harvest with him. Bringing his harvest with him. How? In rejoicing.
Yes.
In rejoicing.
Yeah.
In rejoicing. That's why we read in Psalm 27, 6, where it says, I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices, what? Of joy. Sometimes it's a sacrifice. When you don't feel like being joyful and joyous, it's a sacrifice. You actually have to do something that takes some effort, and sometimes it hurts. That's a sacrifice. But we rejoice anyway. That's why it's a sacrifice. Amen.
Yes.
Now, let me tell you, I said that word in Psalm 27, verse 6, that word joy, the actual Hebrew word there is turah. And it literally means an acclamation of joy or a battle cry, especially like unto the clangor of trumpets as with an alarm.
Wow.
He says, therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joyful shouting that's like a battle cry, like a clang of trumpets. Well, when was the last time you did that? How are we supposed to do it? Shout for joy. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Don't in the Word of God say, let thy priests be clothed with righteousness. Let thy saints what? Shout for joy. Psalm 5:11 says, let those that put their trust in thee rejoice.
Yeah.
How can you say that we're trusting in God and not rejoicing?
Mm-hmm.
Look at Psalm 5:11. Let all those, doesn't even say some. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Does everybody know their name?
Yes. Yes.
Say what your name is to yourself. You got it? Okay. Now look at Psalm 5:11 and see where it says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice, and see if it says except you anywhere. See if your name is in there anywhere. See if you can find it. Now if you can't find your name in there, that means the word all includes you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're talking about correction and if necessary, reproof. Does everybody remember what the word reproof means? It means to criticize sharply. The Word of God will criticize us sharply. That means that if you are not doing what it says here, you are getting sharply criticized right now by God for a purpose.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to bring forth correction. You are supposed to not be a hearer only, but a doer. Because it's the doer that's blessed. I can show you more benefits of doing it properly. When you do it properly, the way the word says, there's benefits that come with it.
Amen.
One of them is you bring in your harvest. Hallelujah, I like that.
Amen.
But let all those, not some, all those that put their trust in thee, well, I'm just trusting in God, and I am just trusting him that he's going to get me through. Where's the rejoicing?
Yeah.
That's not trusting in God.
That's right.
It says, let all those that put their trust in him, what? Rejoice. Cry and call everybody and get a prayer chain going.
Rejoice.
No, it says rejoice.
Yeah.
Didn't the word of God say rejoice? Again, I say rejoice.
Yes. James 1, consider it pure joy.
Pure joy.
Whenever you face trials of
men. Amen. Look at Psalm 5:11. Mm-hmm. Part B, let them always what?
Sing and shout for joy.
Shout for joy.
Yeah.
Shout for joy.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Right. Hallelujah.
Can you shout for joy? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Mr. Parker.
Glory to God.
Glory. Yeah. Ladies. Shouting for joy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember that the next time you're alone or you're in church and you're supposed to be rejoicing,
yes.
Remember what you just did.
Yeah.
That's shouting for joy.
Yeah.
Everybody, if you don't know it, say this. Psalm 5,
verse 11,
says,
let them always
shout for joy.
Shout for joy.
Yeah, it doesn't say whisper.
Mm-hmm.
Shout for joy.
People should not be struggling to hear you.
Yeah.
If they have to do that, then you're not.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, then you're not shouting.
That's right.
Amen.
Again, we looked at 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. If we need to be reproved, let's take the reproof. God, your heavenly Father, is endeavoring to do something in your life.
Yeah.
He's endeavoring to bring forth the harvest, the miracle, the supernatural that you've been crying for and asking for and praying for and standing in faith for. He's trying to bring it forth, and he's trying to show you what is hindering it. You know, you don't have to be in church to do that. As a matter of fact, you should practice at home. Your neighbors should be looking at you funny. Your neighbors should be looking at you funny. There he goes again. There they go again. There's something wrong with them. No, there's something right.
Amen.
Let them ever shout for joy. Why? Because you defend them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful. Now remember, I told you that word joy, it means joyful shouting, as if with a clang of trumpets. In other words, it's noise. Listen, joy is noisy. There's no way that you can get around it. Joy is noisy. When you look at the word joyce and rejoicing, it doesn't matter whether you're looking at the Hebrew or the Greek, it's noisy.
Amen.
That's why I was so annoyed about it when it was being manifested, because I like quiet and peace. I didn't like it noisy.
Yeah.
That's not the way I was born. It's the way I became
yeah.
through circumstances.
Yeah.
It's not the way I was born. Children love to play and yell and make noise. And so did I. As a matter of fact, my parents would come out and tell me to quiet down and be quiet. So I used to know how to make a lot of noise. But then I learned how to be quiet. Then I got stuck there. I got stuck in quiet. God, if you're going to move, you're going to do it quietly. No. No. But let's look at Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. Let's look at that. I want to show you the benefits. Hallelujah. Verse 5 and 6 says this. They that sow in tears. How many of you have ever sowed in tears?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, amen. You've sown in discomfort. It's been inconvenient. Sometimes it hurts. But they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Hallelujah! Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah!
If you're not going after your harvest with rejoicing, you're not going after your harvest.
Amen.
Because it says right here, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing.
Yeah.
If you're not coming after your harvest, if you're not walking into your fields and towards your field with rejoicing, you're in the wrong direction. You're not going towards your field, because how can you not go with rejoicing if you really and truly believe that that harvest is there and you're getting ready to bring it in?
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
You're not in faith.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
You're still in tears.
Amen.
You can learn about reaping here.
Amen.
You know, I spent many years, I sowed a lot of stuff. You know, I never learned how to reap. I didn't have faith for the harvest. I had faith for the seed to be multiplied, but I didn't have faith for the harvest. And I didn't have faith to know where the harvest was. And I didn't know how to have faith to know how to bring the harvest in. And I had to learn how to do it. God taught me how. And that garden out there, he used that garden to teach me how.
Hallelujah.
How to harvest. Harvest takes effort. God's not going to bring your harvest in. You got to. You got to bring your harvest in. God's not going to do it. You have to bring it in. He creates the harvest from the seed you sow. But you got to bring the harvest in. It's your harvest. So you got to go get it. I said, you got to go get it. You got to go get it. You read Mark 4 about the harvest. You'll see it's the man that brings in the harvest. Amen. But look at this. He shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. In other words, wherever you sowed your seed, see, that's the field. You're going to come back to that field. And when you come back to that field, you should be coming with rejoicing, not with worry and fear about whether or not there's going to be a harvest there.
Yes.
Every time I see my garden when I walk out there, glory to God. Thank you, God, for the harvest.
Yes.
And it's still producing out there, because I said I'm going to have an extra long harvest this year.
Yes.
An unprecedented harvest. And I've got it in every area of my life.
That's right.
Including that garden. And I'm not affected by the season or the cold or anything else. But I come again with rejoicing. I walk out there rejoicing. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves. In other words, bringing his harvest with him. Learn how to rejoice before God. Yield to the Spirit of God. When we come together and we're praising and worshiping God, don't you dare keep your mouth quiet. And don't you dare keep your hands at your side when the Word of God says, I would that all men lift up holy hands unto God without wrath and doubting. When the Word of God says, let the saints ever shout for joy. When the Word of God says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving in your heart and enter into his courts with praise. Don't you know that in his presence is fullness of joy?
Amen.
Fullness of joy. If you've entered into the courts of God, then you should be full of joy. And if you're not noisy about it, you ain't full of joy.
Amen.
You're just pretending. You're not yielding to what the Spirit of God is endeavoring to do.
Amen.
You see, praise and worship is an integral part. It's a critical part of yielding to the Spirit of God and seeing the manifestation of God in your life, in you and through you, yielding. And praise and worship is important. As a matter of fact, there is nothing more important than properly praising and worshiping your Father. And all you have to do is just go ahead and listen to last week's teaching on praising God. See the miracles, what happened when people begin to praise God. Even two men sitting in a prison, all the prison doors locked, with a guard around them, their feet in shackles. Two people in the midnight singing and praising God. Just two men singing and praising God, and they weren't doing it under their breath, so they didn't bother anyone, because the Word of God says the prisoners heard them.
Yeah, amen.
There were probably a few comments from the prisoners too. Shut up.
Yeah.
We're trying to sleep here. Oh no, we're praising God. Hallelujah. Glory glory to God. We're rejoicing in the fact that we're saved. We're spending eternity with our Father. Hallelujah. And what? Suddenly there was an earthquake. There was an earthquake. And the prison doors flew open. And even the shackles flew off their feet. Let me tell you something. Earthquakes don't make shackles fall off your feet.
Amen.
But somehow or another, something happened when they were singing and praising God. What do you think will happen to you in your situation? No matter how dark it is. Amen. The yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. Amen. So turn over to 1 Peter. Praise God. Are you getting anything out of this? See, because we've been told to come together to wait on God.
Amen.
When we come together to wait on Him, we're to do it properly. We have to know how to yield to Him. And we have to come in properly. Do you know that word wait? And by the way, it says in Psalm 27, it says wait on the Lord.
Right.
That word wait literally means to expect.
Mm.
When you come before God, you should come expectantly.
Yes. Yeah.
When we come together, we should come expectantly. Why? Because he says, he that cometh before God must first believe that he is, and second, believe that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You should come expecting a reward. He said there's a reward. When you come properly, he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. If you don't believe that he's a rewarder of you, when you diligently seek him, then you're not going to see the reward.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why so many don't. I don't understand what good this is to just praise and worship God. That's why you don't see anything. You're not expecting anything. He said there's a reward.
Yes, there is.
For it. Amen. Where did I tell you to go? 1 Peter? 1 Peter. Praise God. Look at this. Hallelujah. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How many of you have got your faith out there right now for some things?
Hallelujah.
You know, you stepped out at the beginning in faith. You're looking for something. You're looking actually to see the manifestation of your faith made sight.
Amen.
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 At the very, very least, you got a beginning. You stepped out in faith in the beginning. Amen.
Amen.
Wait till you see this. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 6. What are the first couple words?
In this you greatly rejoice.
Now hold on a minute. Does that say, in this you greatly rejoice?
Yes, it does.
It says you greatly rejoice.
Amen.
Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. Now, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
If now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, are you telling me that I need to rejoice even though if now for a season I'm in manifold temptations, I'm heavy-hearted because of it? Yeah.
Yes.
It doesn't say to rejoice afterwards.
Now.
It says now, if need be, even if you're in a season of trial or testing, it says wherein ye greatly rejoice.
Yes.
Now, you just ask yourself, every one of you,
yes,
whenever you think about your needs, are you greatly rejoicing? Or are you just every now and then, well, I'm just trusting God he's going to get me through.
Yeah.
Because if you're not greatly rejoicing, then take this as a sharp criticism from God, a reproof, a rebuke, a correction.
Mm-hmm.
Correct it and you'll see the answer. Correct it. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you may be in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, you understand what's happening is your faith is being tried.
Yes.
It's being proven.
Yes.
This is why you're greatly rejoicing, because your faith, see, something's coming against your faith.
Yes.
That means your faith is working.
Yes.
That means your faith is working.
Yes.
If your faith is being tested, it means your faith is working.
Yes.
Because otherwise you wouldn't be tested. Your faith is working.
Amen.
Amen. The trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, everybody say believing.
Believe.
Yet believing you what? You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. By the way, that reminds me of the word of God that says, when the righteous rejoice, great is the glory. Great is the glory. And it says right here, yet believing. See, you're going through a trial. Your faith faith is being tested. That means it's working. It's working. Your faith is working. The devil is telling you it's not working. He's been lying to you, but it's working. It's working. That's why he's testing you. That's why he's seeing if you'll back off on it. That's why he wants to see if you'll faint on it. That's why he wants to see if you'll draw back. That's why he wants to see if you'll open your mouth and say something that makes you double-minded and kills your faith and kills your seed. But if you're being tested, it's because your faith is working. Not because it's not working. You're being tested because it is.
Amen.
And yet believing, everybody say believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Do you understand that one thing your joy does? It's full of glory. Why do you think the devil hates it and tries to keep you from rejoicing? Because it's filled with the glory of God. Your rejoicing is full of glory. It's full of glory. Full of glory. It's full of glory. It's full of glory. He hates it. He sees God in it. He sees faith in it. He sees power in it. So he hates it and he wants you to stop. You don't. You rejoice. You rejoice. And look at this. It says what? Receiving what? The end of your faith. You started out at the beginning, but you're rejoicing what? It brings forth what? The end of your faith. The manifestation that you're looking for. The answer that you're looking for. Receiving the end of your faith. See, a beginning of your faith, that's one thing. But if you'll rejoice and shout and give glory to God, you'll see the end of it. I don't want to just start out the beginning and never get to the end. I want to see the end. I want to see the manifestation of my faith. And it promises right here, receiving the end of your faith. Believing God, rejoicing the way we're supposed to, is powerful enough to take you from the pit of hell and translate you into the kingdom of heaven. If it could recreate and make a new creature out of you, then it can certainly pay your light bill. It can certainly bring a new car into your life.
Amen.
It can certainly bring forth healing into your body.
Amen.
It can get you a new job. It can get you a new house.
Amen.
It can do all of the things if you'll just follow the instructions. Wherein now you greatly rejoice, even if though now for a season, if need be, you may be in heaviness through manifold temptations. But the trial, the testing of your faith, you know your faith is working because you're being tested.
Amen.
Being much more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, your faith that is, that even though it be tried with fire, might be found unto what? Unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing. We believe the word of God.
Amen.
Yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith.
Amen.
That's good.
They that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves, bringing his harvest with him.
Hallelujah.
Glory
to God.
Are there benefits to learning how to properly worship God?
Amen.
Just because people around you may not be doing it, you know what? The anointing rubs off.
That's
true. Amen.
You start rejoicing and praising God, you watch and see what people around you start doing. One of two things, they're either going to get annoyed and move, in which case they're no longer hindering the flow of the Spirit around you. Or they're going to jump right on in, in which case, praise God, now you've been an example to the body of Christ.
That's right.
Amen. I like what Brother Hagin used to call, he called it the slopped over blessing. You know, that anointing would be so strong on you that it would just slop over onto others and they'd start, you know, walking in it and so forth. Get the slopped over blessing. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Do you see the power that's in praise?
Amen.
Do you see the power that's in joy? And do you see the power that's in the shout?
Amen.
See, if we follow the word of God, if we'll just yield to the word, why have to suffer rebuke again? Did you hear me?
Yeah.
See, the word of God in Hebrews says, despise not the chastening of the Lord. When he speaks to you, he's speaking to you for a benefit. It says, no chastening at the time, no reproof, no rebuke, no correction is pleasant at the time.
Yeah.
But grievous. Yet those that receive it and are trained by it will produce the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Why suffer rebuke again.
Amen.
There's no need to. You've heard the word. Amen?
Amen?
We've heard the word. Did the Spirit of God bring it forth enough for you tonight to see the benefit of actually obeying? I'll say this again. There was a time when I was much more reserved when my wife was around. I don't want her to see me acting like this. I'm sure that's the same with some of you, or maybe have been in the past.
Yeah.
Don't ever let your spouse affect the way you worship God. If they don't know how to do it properly, you do it properly and bring them along.
Amen.
You set the example. You follow the word. If you follow the word, they'll come along.
Amen.
Sooner or later, they will.
Amen.
They'll come. Be an example. Amen. We're not supposed to be overcome with evil. We're supposed to overcome evil with good. We're not supposed to be changed by them to stop doing what the word says. Do you see how important rejoicing is?
Yes.
Properly. What does the word shout mean?
Shout.
Shouting is not talking. Right now I'm talking. And right now I'm shouting. Do you see shout? Is it in the word? Does the word tell us to shout?
Yes.
Is your name in there and says you don't have to?
No.
That means when we shout, we shout. That means if we don't, we've not received the rebuke. We have not received the correction. We're a disobedient, unwilling child, unwilling to listen to the instruction of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, one last thing, Deuteronomy chapter 28. Praise God. This is good.
Yes. Amen.
There are benefits, amen, to following the word of God. There are consequences for not. Jesus said, if I had not come, you would not have heard. And if you had not heard, then you would be without guilt. But now I've come, and I've told you the truth, and now you have no excuse. What does that mean? That means when the word of God comes, you're no longer innocent.
That's right.
That means now you're without excuse. Now you're accountable. Praise God. Now we've all read Deuteronomy chapter 28 starting with verse 1. If you fully, everybody say fully.
Fully.
Fully. That means you obey everything. Not just the things that you like. This is not a buffet where you pick and choose what you like. This is everything. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow some of his commands, all of his commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And some of these blessings, all of these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord. In the King James it says, if you're careful to observe and to do all these things that I set before you this day, all of these things, not some. Do you see that?
Yes.
Do you see that there's a blessing in doing all of them?
Yes.
Doing everything.
Yes.
Doing it all.
Yes.
Everything has a blessing attached to it.
Amen.
Everything has a consequence if you don't. Did you know that? He lists several verses here of blessings of obeying. Amen.
Amen.
But I want you to go over to verse 47. This is important.
Mm-hmm.
He says, however, because you do not serve the Lord your God, how?
With joyfulness.
He says, therefore, if you do not serve the Lord, or because you will not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly, or with a heart of gladness for the abundance of all things, or for the prosperity that he's given us,
yes.
He says, therefore, you will instead serve your enemies,
mm-hmm.
hunger, thirst,
mm-hmm.
nakedness,
mm-hmm.
and want of all things. Or lack of all things. One translation says dire poverty. What is the reason why people serve their enemies? One of the reasons. Because they don't serve the Lord how?
With joy.
With joy. It doesn't say because you did not serve the Lord. It says because you won't serve the Lord joyfully and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Do you notice it doesn't say because you don't serve the Lord? He says because you don't serve me properly.
Right.
And then he tells us what properly is. With joy.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And gladness of heart.
Amen.
That's one of the reasons why people don't walk in the prosperity that God has for them. That's one of the reasons why people don't reap the harvest that they've sown.
Yeah.
Because they don't reap it in joy. The harvest is there.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
But they're not using the proper tools.
Yeah.
And if you really want to read about harvesting, you can go over to Isaiah chapter 28 and you'll find out that there are different tools that are used for harvesting different things. But one of the tools is joy,
yeah.
Rejoicing, gladness of heart. We receive from God the abundance of all things because we serve him with joy,
yeah.
Joyfully. Because we serve him joyfully and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. And it says if we don't serve him that way, then we'll serve our enemies instead.
Yeah.
If we won't serve God properly, then we'll serve our enemies instead. Hunger, thirst, nakedness, dire poverty. Is that good?
Yes. Yeah.
That's the Holy Ghost.
That's good.
That's good stuff.
See, that's the Holy Ghost that's trying to bring this stuff out. That's not by me. Stuff that the Lord shows and brings out for us. Because we asked.
Yeah,
didn't we ask?
That's right, we did.
For revelation. To open our eyes. To see things in the Word we've never seen before.
Yeah,
to see the truth.
Amen.
Well, you see, if we'll receive it, we'll be able to walk in the benefits of it. Amen?
Amen.
Well, if you got something out of that, let's just stand up and give a shout of joy and thanksgiving.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Trust that this message has ministered to you. For the rest of this series, as well as other inspirational messages by Reverend Slide Moran, please visit our website at www.biblecities.com.